This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
There's no cause for concern whatsoever. Dak's going to be fine.
Mike McCarthy said it was a fatigue injury.
I think it's just something, as we said, it's just taking the precaution.
I don't think it seems a serious situation at the moment.
This is early in training camp. No cause for concern.
Ooh, I don't know. It sounds like it might be a little cause of concern. This is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, and on the ESPN app. I am not Bart or Hahn. My name is Shea Cornett. Jordan Cornett, my husband, is here with you as well. We are filling in for the guys today. Happy to do so. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests will join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And by the way, family is everything, and I've got peace of mind knowing that my family is taken care of with life insurance. I recommend SelectQuote. SelectQuote has been helping families for over 35 years. Plus, quotes are free. Go to selectquote.com. That's selectquote.com. So, Jay, hello. Good afternoon to you. I say that as if I don't live with the man, but I do. However, we've been running around both in different directions today. Have you seen the tweet from the Dallas Cowboys from yesterday?
Yeah, I don't know what the Cowboys were thinking when they tweeted out in regards to Dak Prescott. It's not a setback and it's not a reason to worry. But QB Dak Prescott is planning on getting another MRI. That was tweeted about 15 hours ago from the Dallas Cowboys Twitter. Now, here's my question, Shay. The line in that tweet that says, "and it's not a reason to worry," that's what the Dallas Cowboys are telling us in that tweet. Let me tell you this. As a man who's happily married, I know when I spill wine on a carpet. I know if I come home a little too late. I know if I make some sort of mistake. I usually lead with, knowing I've made a mistake, go, hey, listen, it's not that big a deal, but ... And once you do that and set the table that way, that means there's something that you probably need to worry about. So I think where there's smoke, there's fire with this one, Chef.
Here's how I feel about this situation. Look, Dak Prescott is coming off of more than just now shoulder injury, right? Like, his leg was pretty much torn apart last season, and we saw that. And the story keeps kind of changing.
Yeah.
Like, at first it's sore, and then nothing to worry about. And now there's more things not to worry about because he's going to go have an MRI. And before, we were sitting out for a couple of weeks out of an abundance of caution. Like, the story keeps changing. And when the story keeps changing to me...
yeah, you sniff those out really quick. Pay attention to the details.
Yeah, I pay attention to the details. I just don't like that the story keeps changing. Now, here's the thing with an MRI, and we were talking about this prior to the show. When you have one, usually teams aren't ones to jump on it. And I know this from my time covering the Chicago Bears. Like, you don't want to open up a can of worms that doesn't need to be open. You go have an MRI or an X-ray, or you pick it. Sometimes you see things you don't want to find. And so I don't think they'd be doing this if there wasn't some sort of soreness, or if there wasn't some reason to do it, maybe to see that everything's been cleared up. So while they might not think there's a reason to worry, if I'm a Cowboys fan, I'm worried because we're not having MRIs for fun.
But let me play devil's advocate, and I know your favorite line is the devil doesn't need any advocate. But you mentioned your time in covering the Chicago Bears. And one thing I know for certain when you cover those Chicago Bears is there wasn't a quarterback making $31 million a year with these injuries and this history, knowing what he came off of last year. So playing devil's advocate, do you think this is just them getting assurance, them being the Dallas Cowboys saying, hey, we know the history here, we know the investment, we just simply want to dot I's, cross T's, and be absolutely certain Dak Prescott's ready to go this year? Do you think that might be the case?
Perhaps. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. How would I know that? I don't know, perhaps, and that would be smart of them to do their due diligence before they throw out a quarterback who has been banged up from legit head to toe at this point for week one against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. By the way, it's a Thursday night game and it kicks off the NFL season. But I also will say this, and this is where I think things have gotten lost a lot over the last couple of weeks. People have forgotten that the Cowboys went to practice for the preseason a week before everyone else. And also, Dak Prescott has been rehabbing his legs a lot, so his arm could have a little bit of soreness, more so than every other quarterback. Now, I'm not saying that you should have arm soreness to the point of having an MRI, but I will say him having some throwing issues, I mean, that didn't surprise me as much. Concerned I am now that we're having multiple MRIs, that's a problem. Let's hear from Dak Prescott, though, the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys himself, on if that shoulder strain is starting to frustrate him.
You heard it there from Dak himself, Shay. This is a guy that understands he needs the reps. Why does he need the reps? Because of the robust amount of time he missed last year and because of how poorly that season went last year. You need your figurehead. You need the main guy to be out there to get those reps, because you know who you got week one?
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
The reigning Super Bowl champs, the Bucs, in Tampa. So, look, is this a game you want to thrust him out there and play? I would say absolutely if he was healthy enough. And the fact that he's not getting those reps in the preseason and in camp right now says to me, oh, man, we know we need him out there. He's ain't ready to be out there. And, oh, by the way, he's not even getting hit yet. This guy's not even getting hit yet. So, to me, you're lucky enough in this regard that this is such a loaded team, that that offensive line is now fully healthy, that Ezekiel Elliott is out there to try to prove that last year was just a one-off and he's ready to do damage. And you're going to have to lean heavily on that run game out of the gates with or without Dak, because if you're bringing Dak in week one, they're still going to be using him in a limited role, you would imagine. Something's not right with Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott is not going to go out there and be 100%. So there is absolutely cause for concern here. But they are blessed enough to be loaded with a lot of talent. Tampa's a tough first game, but there's a stretch of three games that are quite winnable for them after that to try to dance around what's going on with Dak till they absolutely need him and have to say, okay, let's go.
Dak Prescott threw the football right towards the top of the league last year when he was feeling good, okay? He is not one to just lean on a run game. He can lean on his own legs if he has to, if he's fully healthy. When you have Michael Gallup, CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, honestly, a top five receiving core in the National Football League, there's no way the Cowboys aren't going to lean on Dak Prescott's arm. So let's hear from Prescott one more time on if he thinks he's going to be ready to go for week one. I mean, that's first and foremost. Like, I was reading some reports that perhaps they were considering playing Dak Prescott in the third preseason game, that we will see him take some sort of snaps in the preseason. And while that looks good to all of us because we want to see how he looks, how his legs look, how he has been progressing with all these issues, how he is connecting with the players around him and whatever, like, nah, I'm cool if I'm Dak Prescott and I'm not 100% and I wait till week one, and then you can throw all your cards at everyone when they play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
There is – I can't think of a team with more pressure on them than this situation and the pressure and the pipes involved with Dak Prescott and when to play him and how to treat this situation. It is incredibly delicate because what you know about an arm, a shoulder, the throwing shoulder is, that thing could be, if you rush him back, that could cause the injury that makes this recovery time way longer. And why the pressure is as high as it is, it's because the Cowboys have a chance to go out there and win a Super Bowl this year. This team has the most is as talented, you could argue, as any in the league. And the one thing that leads the way is the ability to say this offense with an incredible balance out there, healthy, and Dak back there, we can do something special. But it's when you decide to throw him out there. As we talk about these quarterback battles out there, well, when do you use a guy and what that can do for our season? That's on roids when you look at this with Dak Prescott and say, well, we don't want to rush him in there week one if he ain't ready, because if we can usher him in week two, week three, maybe week four, and then really make our push, that might have to be the play you make.
Here's the thing with Dak Prescott, and then we can move on, because I want to kind of hammer this point when I was arguing with you about how he's going to have to rely on his arm to throw the football with that receiving core that he has. In terms of pass attempts by Dak Prescott for the Dallas Cowboys by season, it has only gone up. In 2016, just over 28. 2017, just over 30. 2018, 32. 2019, 37. In 2020, now through only five games, it was 44. So if we're going to go for a fourth, fifth straight season, let's say a full season, like, it's no doubt going to go up, and he's going to have to utilize that arm even more. I know what you're going to say. It's because they were behind so much last season, they had to throw the football more. Is that what you were going to
say? Yeah, but he's also going to say the reason why they had to do that, too, is because they had no run game, because the Ezekiel Elliott struggles and the injuries on the offensive line. Like, this team wants to lead with a run game.
That didn't come out right out of the gate when Prescott was healthy last year.
But they had injuries. They were ravaged with injury. This team wants to lead with the run and then let Dak do what Dak does. This offense is as balanced as any. That's why it's so elite. If he's putting up those numbers that are on the ascension, as you read there, from year to year, if they ascend even further this year, that offense doesn't look right. And Dak Prescott would say that himself and say, hey, look, I shouldn't be throwing for over 6,000 yards. If I am, we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. Because what it needs to be is a balance of Ezekiel, that offensive line, dominating, leading the way to open up holes for him, and a lot of Dak Prescott as well. But it should not be one-sided. That's what makes the Cowboys so special this year.
Yeah, it shouldn't be one-sided, but I would assume that he doesn't want to run first, pass second, that he'd want to do it the other way if he is fully healthy. That's Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. So Barton Hahn typically comes from you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. However, since Jordan Cornett and Shea Cornett here are filling in for the dudes this morning, we're actually coming to you from our crib. So a little change of pace. So Jordan mentioned pressure. You know who's got a lot of pressure on them? That would also be the New England Patriots. Obviously, they missed the postseason last year for the first time in a decade plus. We saw what Tom Brady was able to do, and so now what can Bill Belichick do in his second year removed without Tom Brady? Well, perhaps we'll see a little glimpse of it tonight. The real NFL preseason kicks off tonight. I know we already saw the Hall of Fame game, but really things really get going this evening. So a battle of Pennsylvania between the Steelers and the Eagles, and then, as I mentioned, the Patriots are going to take on the Washington football team in Foxborough. And so let's start there with the New England Patriots, Jay. Both Cam Newton and Mac Jones, according to Bill Belichick, are going to see some time in this game. First of all, what do you make of that? Because I've got some feelings. And also, what if Mac Jones goes out, I don't know, throughout the entirety of the preseason and absolutely balls out? What happens with Cam Newton then?
Well, people got to understand, this isn't like it's Cam Newton with the Panthers and he never left and he's been a part of that franchise with all those highs and some of those lows, and you feel like there's equity built up there. That's not the case here. There's equity built up is what Cam Newton's meant to the league, but he's not the figurehead and longstanding guy there in New England, which means there's not a loyalty to Cam Newton above all else, where no matter what Mac Jones does, Cam's our guy. That's not how this is set up. And if Mac Jones continues to learn this dynamic, complex playbook and offensive scheme of Josh McDaniels at the rate he is, well, that pressure is ultimately going to be applied to the point where you can't deny that it has to be Mac Jones' job. Now, what we do know is Cam Newton had nothing in front of him to succeed last year. Mm-hmm. The cupboard was bare. He had the COVID bout. He had a little bit of injury. He was never comfortable with the playbook. He's into a second season here now, and I need to see him react better, be more efficient in the red zone, take care of the football better, and we're hearing reports that he's struggling with value in the football in camp right now. But he needs to check all those boxes, because what McDaniels wants, what Belichick wants, is somebody who's going to handle situational football properly, who's going to make the snap decision, who's going to be effective in the red zone, and who's going to make the fast reaction and the proper read. And that's not what Cam was last year, and that's probably because of lack of familiarity. Can he do that this season? Well, with Mac Jones coming in, impressing them like he is, Josh McDaniels giving him the attention he's giving him and the reps he's giving him, says to me, this is the closest quarterback battle that we are seeing across the NFL landscape at this very moment.
Oh, really? I hear there's one going on in Jacksonville. I'm joking. But also, I don't know that I necessarily agree with that sentiment, that this is the closest one. What do you think they're going to say about Mac Jones? That he's gone out there and he doesn't look right and he doesn't understand the playbook? Like, no.
That's what they say about these rookies. They say he's not there yet. He's not there yet. You don't get the reps that he's getting.
But traditionally, Bill Belichick has really been close to the cuff. Is that the phrase? Close to the cuff? Kept it close to the cuff in terms of what he is thinking with his quarterback room or in quarterback comp. Like, that's just not who he is. He's not going to go. He never goes out and just says exactly what's going on. That's never how it's going to
work.
Nobody does. But the only thing I find interesting about this situation is the fact that both quarterbacks are going to play, because the one thing Bill Belichick has said repeatedly, even back to last season, Cam's our guy. Cam's our starter. Cam's our guy. You're not hearing that anywhere else. You're hearing Kyle Shanahan go back and forth even with Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance. Not necessarily back and forth, I guess I shouldn't say that, but hinting at the fact that when Trey Lance is ready, he's going to play. Same thing in Chicago. Bill Belichick ain't saying that. He's saying, Cam's our quarterback. Cam's our starter. And so for them both to see time in the preseason does make me scratch my head a little bit. Now, I will say this about Mac Jones and Cam Newton. There are no two quarterbacks, in my opinion, in the National Football League on the same team that could be more different at all. Like, Mac Jones is a traditional pocket passer. He's much more, and I don't mean to do this, but I'm going to do it, like Tom Brady-like. Like, he's not.
Clip the sound.
He's not as mobile as a Cam Newton is. And yes, another year in Josh McDaniels' system and Josh McDaniels understanding what Cam Newton can do, of course, all these things are going to matter when all is said and done. But I do find it interesting that both quarterbacks are going to play. Now, you know what could happen is this is Bill Belichick asks, hey, both quarterbacks are going to play so we can talk like this about the Patriots. And then what's going to happen? Cam Newton plays one series and Mac Jones isn't for the rest of it. And that's the end of
well,
it.
Well, and there's really a lot that can be gained here in this preseason first appearance for Mac Jones and Cam Newton. Because Cam Newton needs to show that the physical tools are still there, that he can make the accurate throws, that he can, you know, not turn the football over, that he can move a little bit, that he understands the playbook. And when you look at Mac Jones, this is the first time you're seeing him against NFL caliber talent. The game's going to move faster. That playbook that Cam Newton struggled with a year ago, how seamless in digestion does it come for Mac Jones here? What they want is a guy who can manage a game. What they want is somebody who can make the proper read and be effective, most especially in the red zone. And if Mac Jones, who's known for his accuracy, who's known for his ability to make all the throws and be able to read a defense, digest the playbook, well, we're going to see. And I think the difference between this one and some of these other battles is I don't think there's much equity built up in New England with Cam Newton and the Patriots for them to say it's no matter what Cam's for at least a handful of weeks. If Mac Jones is threatening like he's threatening, that could very well be his job by the second or third week of the season.
So Patriots go to Foxborough. I'm sorry, the Buccaneers go to Foxborough week four, right? So it's going to be Tom Brady returning to New England week four. Do you think Mac Jones will be the starter by then? I say no. I like emphatically no. Like, I think Cam Newton's going to start this whole season. That's me. But you seem to be on this Mac Jones train. So
I'm on the Mac Jones train as threatening and having an opportunity here. I think some of these quarterback battles, you could say there's no opportunity. Clearly they want it to go the path of the guy they're saying publicly as their starter is going to be the guy. I get the vibe that Mac Jones has a very real shot because of the reps he's getting and the attention he is getting there. And yes, we're hearing Belichick say it's Cam's job to a point. If Cam Newton could stay healthy, show the ability to be accurate, take care of the football, all the things I've been saying throughout here, then Cam will be the guy all year. But his body also has to hold up. And most importantly, he has to show a comfort with the scheme offensively that was lacking a year ago. Does Cam have the ability to do that? Absolutely. The guy's been an MVP in this league, so I'm not going to count him out. But I stand by the fact, Shay, I truly believe this is the most heated quarterback battle in the NFL right now.
I know this. Last season, Bill Belichick was not afraid to pull Cam Newton in the third or fourth quarter if he was turnover prone and put in Jared Stidham. Now, it's going to be a completely different situation when you have a rookie quarterback waiting in the wings that could put, I mean, the minute you pull Cam Newton and put in Mac Jones, you've opened up a big can of worms. So I don't know that he'd be that quick about it. But we will find out. And I guess it all starts tonight. Again, the NFL preseason really kicks off tonight. It's week one. We got two games, Steelers and Eagles, and then the Washington football team and the New England Patriots. Should be a good one this evening. We'll see how this all looks. And we'll be overreacting to all of it, too, I'm sure, later on. By the way, Shea Cornett, Jordan Cornett, filling in for the guys here on Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, and on the ESPN app. You want to weigh in on something? Feel free. Give us a call. The phone number is 888-SAY-ESPN. It's 888-729-3776. Do you think Cam Newton is going to start for the entirety of the season? What if Mac Jones goes out in the preseason? And everyone needs to just remember, preseason. We didn't even have it last year. And impress us. Just remember, it is the preseason. Give us a call and let us know. All right, coming up, a former AFC GM is going to join us next to perhaps talk about what is going on with the New England Patriots. That's all next right here on Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Barton Hahn on your radio station right now on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, ESPN app. Shea Cornett and Jordan Cornett filling in for the guys today. Thanks for hanging out with us. Usually you can catch us on Sundays on game day on ESPN Radio, but happy to be here holding it down during the week for the dudes. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests will join us on the Goodyear Hotline, and that is where we're going to go right now because Doug Whaley, former Bills GM, is on the Goodyear Hotline. Doug, good afternoon to you. Thanks for being with us here. Let's start with the Bills because we saw Josh Allen agree to a six-year, $258 million contract with $150 million. $150 million guarantees would be weird.
That'd be a deal.
That'd be weird. Yeah, $150 million in guarantees. So someone who has run the Bills organization, obviously seen how these contracts have grown and progressed over the years. What did you make of that contract for Josh Allen?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. And the main thing here is security at a position that the Bills have been looking for since Jim Kelly. I mean, it's a great deal for Josh. It gives him security. Then also, it doesn't have to have that distraction of that media always forever talking about the contract throughout the year. And he can focus and the team can focus on closing that gap with Kansas City. It's a good deal for the Bills because, one, it sends a great message to that locker room. This is our guy that we're throwing our total franchise behind. And if you play well in Buffalo – and show that you're the epitome of what we want to be as the Bills organization, we're going to reward you. Now, I think the person that really makes out of all of this is the agent from CAA that did the deal. Because think about this. Josh has had really one good year, won the playoffs, took him to the AFC Championship. But when you look at the numbers, it comes to year eight. Before the cumulative earnings of Patrick Mahomes, which has been the two Super Bowls and one Super Bowl, eclipses what Allen's going to get in the first 7 years. So not till year eight does Mahomes make more money than Josh Allen. Wow. So I think it's a win-win for everybody, but especially for that agent as a recruiting tool for future possible QB clients.
Yeah, well, Doug, let's spread that potential winning around. And how does this impact, let's say, a Lamar Jackson, a Baker Mayfield, who still have looming large deals in their future?
From an organizational standpoint, if you believe those guys are your guys, you need to lock them up now. And I'll tell you why. Because the cap is suppressed this year. It's going to go up next year. And then when that new media deal jumps in or kicks in, that cap's going to explode. So instead of waiting a year and saying, oh, Josh Allen got that much, we'll add 2 to 5% on just for another year. These agents are going to ask for 10 to 15% because they're going to tie it to the increase into the cap. So if I'm Cleveland or if I'm Baltimore and I truly believe this is our guy and this is our guy of future and we don't have a plan to get another guy if we let this guy go, or we don't want to have to go through that cat and mouse game of playing that franchise tag, get them done now because it's going to cost you an exorbitant amount later.
Interesting, Doug. And that probably pertains more to the Ravens camp and the Lamar Jackson camp because clearly they want to do this thing for a long time together with the resume that Lamar already has, a proven track record. Whereas with Baker, it seems like Baker wants to bet on himself and Cleveland isn't quite sold yet. So put on your Browns GM hat. How would you handle that one knowing what you've already laid out in front of us?
I would say this. I would have to get with the owner and get with the head coach and say, listen, if we are not sold on this guy, we have to be ready to have that hanging over our head of it may cost us a lot more later, or we're going to have to always be dealing with this distraction of is Baker our guy? Is the organization behind him? And it's going to permeate into the locker room too. So I would also take a look at that locker room. Are those guys in that locker room behind Baker? Do they believe in him? Because there's a lot of dynamics going into if you wait and sign this guy. You may save a penny, but be a dollar foolish. So I think you really have to have a meeting of the minds and truly believe. Now, if you're not sold on him, then as the GM, you better start thinking, if this isn't our guy, how are we going to get another guy to replace him? You better start putting those wheels in motion, as in getting draft capital, looking at free agents or unrestricted free agents that are going to be coming up quarterback-wise, start maybe even quietly behind the scenes talking about trade prospects of quarterbacks on other rosters.
Interesting. Talking to Doug Whaley right now. He's a former Bills GM. He's joining us here on the Goodyear Hotline. I'm Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. Shea and Jordan Cornett filling in for the guys. Okay, let's go to the Dallas Cowboys real quick, Doug, because some interesting things going on. Yesterday, the Dallas Cowboys tweeted this out. It's not a setback. It's not a reason to worry, but quarterback Dak Prescott is planning on getting another MRI. And so when you hear that, does that concern you at all at this point in training camp and given the injuries that Dak has had over the last calendar year?
No doubt about it, because you got to look at it. He lost a year last year. He did not play. Now to come back and have a setback because you want him to get out there and knock the rust off, get timing with those receivers, get the feel, and they say get in football shape. There's a difference between going out and training with a trainer or your quarterback coach and putting those pads on and doing the physical activity of what you're getting paid to do. So there's a major difference. And to have a year off and then have a setback in camp and not be able to try to get yourself to that point where you can perform where you want to perform and where you're expected to perform and where the team needs you to perform – those days you just can't get back. So it's very alarming. And if I were the Cowboys, the alert and the red flags would be up. Like, okay, if he's not going to be ready, what are we going to do? We cannot be in the same situation as last year. So they may be looking at, all right, here's our backup quarterbacks. Let's put them in the games and see what they have. But let's start looking at a possible replacement if Dak is not going to be available to us.
All right, Doug, so right around this time, all the chatter goes to these heated quarterback battles and removing Trevor Lawrence, because no matter what Urban tries to say, Trevor Lawrence is a week one starter there. But looking at these other rookies, which one do you think is most likely to start week one? Is it Trey Lance? Is it Mac Jones? Or is it Justin Fields?
Ooh, nice. I would say Mac Jones, and here's why I would say that. I think in Chicago and in San Fran, they have competent quarterbacks and a history of being able to, especially in Chicago, of holding that quarterback out, that rookie quarterback, and letting him learn. And in San Fran, they have a proven quarterback that has taken them, when he plays, they win, and has taken them to a Super Bowl. I think Trey will probably be the number two, because I don't believe in Garoppolo being able to stay healthy for 17 games. He couldn't stay healthy often for 16, for 17. So I think you have a legitimate quarterback competition in New England, because New England's getting all those guys on defense back that opted out. So that defense is going to be their Hall of Fame coach. And then Cam has not progressed, and it may have been because of that shoulder, and it's a year past that shoulder. But I think that's the truest quarterback competition for starting day one, is between Cam and Mac Jones.
Does that make you feel good, Jordan?
Yeah.
That Doug's agreeing with you?
I wasn't going to pat my own back there. I don't think that ever makes for good radio or television. But I just envision, if you've got a guy who's ready, get rid of the historical wisdom and what we've seen before of, oh, you got to sit these guys. If they're your guy, much like Doug's talking about, sign a guy now. Don't wait and let the market be impacted. Make your move if you feel it and make it with conviction. Should be the same way with playing your rookie quarterback. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, Doug Whaley right now.
And I totally agree.
Go ahead,
I'll just jump in and say this one last thing. A lot of times, as I always say, you let the information make the decision. And if a rookie comes in and wins the job, everyone from the players, the coaches, the front office, and the owner will say, let's start this guy because he gives us the best chance to win. So it's not going to be, oh, some people believe or don't believe. Everybody, especially if it's a rookie, is going to say, we want that guy to start.
Yeah, makes sense. All right, Doug Whaley, by the way, joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. One more thing, Doug, before we let you go. From a GM perspective, I've been dying to ask you this, and I don't even need to set it up further than this. The quarterbacks, or the situation, rather, in Green Bay between the GM and management and what is going on with their quarterback and Aaron Rodgers, how do you handle that throughout the entirety of a 17-game season?
Communication, communication, communication. And I'll tell you, one of the best ways to flip this in a way that is more conducive to Aaron accepting that the Green Bay Packers are willing to work with him is right before cutdown day, you bring him in and say, hey, Aaron, what's your view on the roster? Who do you want on this roster? Not saying you have to take all his input and make it gospel, but you give him a say in it. Because as we're seeing, star athletes are understanding, and it's been too long, but they're understanding now, they have a lot more power and influence than they thought they've had in the past. So if it's a quarterback-driven league, and if this is your all-pro NFL MVP quarterback, why not give him a say? Again, you don't have to do everything he says. He just wants to be heard. Yeah. So that would be the first thing I'd do is communicate with him, bring him in. What do you think of this roster composition? And any major moves throughout that year, you don't even have to ask his blessing, just giving him a heads up. Yeah. And then also constantly week here, week there, reaching out to that agent. Hey, could we revisit that contract again? Can we revisit that contract again? So you really, to put it in some simple terms, kind of have to bow to his demands. Mm-hmm. Because when you don't have Aaron Rodgers, is Green Bay going to be where they were the last couple of years in the NFC Championship?
Hell no.
There's your answer. And that is Doug. Doug, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. We really appreciate it. That's Doug Whaley, former Bills GM, joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. We'll see you later.
Anytime. Thank you very much for my time.
See ya. That was Doug Whaley giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Hey, that is a really good suggestion and one I hadn't thought about, which I probably should. Bringing in Aaron Rodgers on cutdown day, having a meeting, laying the roster out in front of him and saying, who do you like? Who do you not? Who do you have chemistry with? Who do you not? Because he referenced in that press conference moments after training camp when guys were cut that he felt were one of the top receivers that they had on their roster. So bring him in to have a say.
Yeah, it's smart because, you know, they've already started the Green Bay Packers in making some of these concessions and bringing in Randall Cobb. And yet every turn when an opportunity presents itself to include a guy that you've left in the outside looking in so many times before would behoove them. I mean, this is going to be a season-long dating setup of can you re-court your guy to say, hey, just finish as a Packer. Everything you've done here, we know how important this team is to you, these fans are to you. We're not important to you because we've blown our opportunity, but let us try to gain some ground. We'll never be lovey-dovey and right off into the sunset. Mark Murphy's not going to be the guy who's up at the podium in Canton introducing Aaron Rodgers to the Hall of Fame, but maybe they could find a way to come together for the greater good of keeping Aaron Rodgers there and retiring ultimately as a Packer. Small moves like that throughout the year at every turn go a long way.
Yeah, don't talk about it. Let's be about it if I was the Green Bay Packers. You know what I mean? ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Just visit progressive.com. So you know what? If you build it, they will come. That's what Major League Baseball is going to find out tonight. You're listening to Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
It is the summer of Dash Pass, and members are getting $10 off groceries, alcohol, and pet food because summer. Try Dash Pass for free and get year-round savings, exclusive menu items, and zero delivery fees now in the DoorDash app. Terms and conditions apply. Welcome back to Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, ESPN app. Shea Cornett, Jordan Cornett filling in for the guys. Happy to do so on this Thursday afternoon. It's exciting time. We got the NFL preseason officially kicking off tonight. I know we saw the Hall of Fame game last week, but really it all gets underway tonight. It's the Steelers and the Eagles, and then we got the Washington football team going to Foxborough to take on the Patriots. So it should be a good night of football as it returns. However, it's also a good night for Major League Baseball. Tune into an AL battle tonight as the White Sox host the Yankees. Coverage begins at 6:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. And that battle, Jay, in the American League, is the Field of Dreams game. So perhaps if you don't know, now you know. They're basically breaking the mold tonight of what professional baseball has been, you know, teams traveling, playing at stadiums. Tonight, they're playing at the Field of Dreams Stadium, essentially. Am I saying right? The Field of Dreams Stadium.
Yeah, they're in, I think it's Dyersville, Iowa. Yeah. Yes. The remainder of the series will be moved to Guaranteed right there in Chicago, which is not too far away, actually.
Yeah, no, just a couple hours away. And so should be a very memorable night in Iowa. And it's the Yankees and the White Sox again. So they're playing basically amongst the cornfields. But nonetheless, this is nostalgic probably for a lot of people. And while we could sit here and talk about the movie Field of Dreams, instead, let's talk about the baseball game.
Because you ain't seen the movie, probably.
Why do you got to out me?
Because you haven't seen any movies, so I know that's why we'll do that, which is fine.
I'm going to have every studio person that can be in my ear during the break. I don't care. I'm not a movie person. I'm just not. Like,
well,
you're right.
I'll be clear. You ain't missing much. I think Field of Dreams is one of the most overrated movies.
Oh, you do? Okay, good.
Sports
I don't
movies
so
all
bad.
The time. In baseball, it's not even the best. Give me Sandlot. Heck, give me Summer Catch with Freddie Prinze and Jessica
Biel. Seen both of those, Summer Catch and Sandlot. Okay, so I feel like I'm in the know now. But the question I want to ask you is because, look, we understand what Major League Baseball is. It's regionalized. Like, let's just call it what it is. It's very regionalized unless it's like a Mets-Yankees game, a Yankees-Red Sox, sometimes a Cubs-White Sox, whatever. It's a very regionalized sport. But does something like this, a Field of Dreams game that feels something to a lot of people, does this open things up for Major League Baseball? Is this a good idea?
It's thinking outside the box, Shay. And I think that's all we're looking for baseball to do, although they're leaning into a nostalgic movie that's pretty corny, in my opinion, and a little bit overblown. But at least they're getting outside of traditional ballparks, trying to have some synergy with pop culture and trying to be relevant in a way where some eyes will go to this Sox-Yankees game that might not have typically. But let's be very clear. The Yankees have won 7 of their last 10. The White Sox have been one of the best teams in baseball season long. Tony La Russa could arguably be the manager of the year. And the White Sox or the Yankees are only 2 games out of the wild card right now. So it's going to be a really important game. So, yes, I like this. I would have liked to see him go even one better. Like, you're leaning into a movie set, a Field of Dreams right there playing on that field. What about, like, the Sandlot? Why not try and do that one season down the road? But I like that they're getting creative.
Well, here's why not. Because it's not 1995. Like, this movie came out in 1989. As you referenced, it's kind of corny. Like, why didn't you do this in the 90s? Why are we doing it in 2021?
The movie's a classic. You just don't have appreciation for classics because you don't watch movies.
Kevin Costner is going to the game. At least he's in Iowa ahead of the game. So I'm going to assume that's great. But you know what Kevin Costner doesn't appeal to? Like teenagers right now.
Have you seen Kevin Costner at 66? My man is doing things.
Okay, you're like pushing 40. Like these 16-year-old kids, these 16-year-old kids don't care about it like that. Like I'm here for, you're right, opening the box and doing new things. But like this feels like a little too late.
I like it.
All right, whatever.
And you're a hater.
I'm not a hater. Okay, is the news of Dak's MRI truly cause for concern? We'll go back to the NFL and we'll ask our next guest right here. I'm Barton Hahn.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.